Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Robinson. Back for the captain, Tyler Adams. Austin McKinney, Des making a big run. It's meant for him. Des is snuck in behind. Des into the middle. Pulisic! Scores! Might have paid the price, but the U.S. takes the lead.
It's Rog. It's Friday. And we've made it, not just to another week, but almost to another World Cup. And I just got home late last night, back from Seattle on Men in Blazers. Tour is over. I'm thrilled and fatigued. God, it was good to see my wife, my kids, and my dog, Martin Scorsese, after nearly 40 days on the road in which we reveled in the act of making World Cup memories with you and so many Americans from sea to shining sea. Look, this honestly has been a surreal World Cup, one in which we felt truly all of the emotions, a tournament of wonder on the field in which it was never able watching it to shake that perpetual fever born of corruption, death and just a warping of morality hovering off it. And we have two more games to go. They'd look fantastic, both of them. And we'll also discuss all that is to come in the run-up to our seismic World Cup 2026, World Cup USA, World Cup Canada and Mexico, which is now faintly visible on the horizon. But this Sunday, we final a World Cup that has twisted and turned and given us what felt like surprises at every step of the way, only to deliver one of the most predictable, one of the most heavyweight, one of the most narrative stuff finals of the modern period. Argentina against France, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Fox proper. Really a clash akin to the De Niro Pacino restaurant scene in Heat. One team desperate to deliver glory for their hero and their beleaguered nation against the defending champions, hoping to become the first nation to go back-to-back since Brazil 1962. Magnifique. Of course, you got the subplot. Messi versus Mbappe. Qatari own club superstar versus Qatari own club superstar. Qatar, you win again. And this morning, Gianni Infantino, Qatar native. He's not really, but he lives there. He really does. We live here now. That ginger, freckle, bullying survivor turned spectre crime family boss gave a press conference in which, well, this one, as you say, he forgot that he's gay, as he pronounced on the opening day of the tournament. He forgot he's a foreign worker too. Nope, today he forgot all of those experiences and just simply proclaimed this to be the best World Cup ever.
Thanks to everyone who was involved, to, of course, Qatar, all the volunteers, workforce, all of you, everyone who has contributed to make this World Cup the best World Cup ever.
Johnny also unfurled a raft of ridiculous new FIFA ideas. A 32-team Club World Cup starting in 2025. Slightly bananas. Four-team FIFA World Series, which no one understands. And it was vaguely described but I'm guessing Todd Burley loves the sound of it. Plan for three-team World Cup groups is scrapped for 2026. Oh, FIFA, you are so crap. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Have you heard of that? But worse news, Johnny's announced he can stay in office until 2031. Yay, autocracy. Essentially, all of this is just spewing ideas out into the football sphere. None, it turns out, have been cleared with, you know, the club teams and the leagues that he's going to warp to make much of this a reality. Essentially, Johnny may have just opened his mouth for an hour to the same effect by screaming, FIFA just loves money. It's craven and it's brazen. And well, the organisation which is meant to grow football, to safeguard it, to protect its footballers, is just one big unaccountable greed machine. Never forget that as we hurtle into this weekend's matches. But let's do this. Producer Sophie, sting me up.
What time is it? It's time to get bald.
On the pod radio, taking your calls.
WGFOB,
y'all. Roger Bennett on the microphone, talking football.
WGFOB.
Feeling conflicted about Qatar 22 now. Just another symptom. Of these dystopian times.
That was WGFOP USA feeling conflicted about Qatar 2022 by Marcus Ricci in Seattle. A gent I actually met in Seattle after our show. What a beautiful, creative human being you are, Marcus. And yes, you are listening to WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you can call in your questions and I'll answer them with as much joy and enthusiasm as Ronaldo witnessing a Gonçalo Ramos hat-trick. Call in your questions to 646-450-9472 and it can be your voice on this pod. And know this, we will live Twitch the final Sunday as a watch alongside cast, like a Manning cast Sunday, starting at 9:45 a.m. Eastern Time with guests including Diplo. It'll be good to have him back. And also old friend and massive Arsenal fan, Josh Richardson. Come and join us. Follow us on Twitch so you can see when we go live throughout the season. Almost 10 million people have watched us on Twitch during this World Cup, which is humbling. Question me up.
Hey, Raj, it's Carrie calling from Detroit, Michigan, up the Toffees. What do you think Messi's going to be thinking about when he goes to bed Saturday night ahead of the final on Sunday?
Carrie, what a question. Quick aside, I've long been fascinated by what footballers dream about ahead of massive games. If you've listened to us on AMP, I've told the story recently about how once our then Italian manager, Cesare Prandelli, his team were about to play Spain, unstoppable Spain, in the 2013 Confederations Cup final. And I asked him whether he dreamt, if he could even get to sleep when you're spending so much time plotting, planning a tactical piece of execution to try and stop them. And he loved the question. And he said, oh, I think about sleep a lot. In fact, he said, I've instructed my players to dream confident, optimistic dreams of glory. An idea I love, that you can just command highly stressed human beings to sleep, not only to sleep, but to dream positive dreams. Don't just sleep, be positive in those things. Visualize moments of success, which is actually so key for elite athletes, as is rest. But how can you close your eyes? How can you sleep healthily knowing, like Lionel Messi on Sunday, that a legacy-defining 90 minutes looms. Minutes that honestly feel so much larger for Argentina than they possibly do for France. They have been a team on a hero's journey. Lionel Messi, that tiniest of giants, in his fifth and final World Cup, is on a mission from God to win it all. And in so doing, trying to eviscerate that one tiny rod that the haters used to beat his back in that generational GOAT debate. And honestly, it feels like months ago that Argentina were dropped to the canvas by Saudi Arabia. That very first game. Do you remember that one? Only to shake off the shock and the doubt and rise harder and faster to become the Argentina of Julian Alvarez, Enzo Fernandez, Alexis McAllister, what the Germans reverently call a Turnier Mannschaft. A team who look better and better with every tournament game they play. And they need to be, because more than anything, Argentina are a nation that's suffering, struggling, falling apart at the seams. Inflation is about to hit 100% on the year. Poverty is widespread. Their government is overwhelmed with corruption. So this football team represent a slither of joy, a uniting force, a sense that the nation can still project greatness globally, possibly in the sphere that matters the most to so many of the people. They are football mad. And even as everything else feels like suffering, there is still joy to be found. Hence, we've seen these seismic scenes. You've seen them on the streets of Buenos Aires after every game. And Messi will feel all of that. Immense pressure. More, because remember, for a long time in his professional career, Lionel Messi, beloved as he was around the world as a Barcelona star, the single place he still needed to prove himself was at home in Argentina. I remember writing a piece for ESPN ahead of the, I think it was the 2010 World Cup, which included a great quote from the Argentinian newspaper La Nación, who claimed, "The world's best footballer is an Argentinian who in his own country has less fans than a referee." And it's astonishing to think about that. But back then, to most Argentinians, he was seen as a foreigner. El Catalan was what they called him, a suspicious moniker, which emphasised the choice he'd made as a 12-year-old to hone his skills far from home in the Barcelona youth system and for all of the subsequent achievement in Spain. And it's been dizzying. Messi had rarely played well for Argentina. They'd stuttered under the leadership back then at that World Cup of, and this didn't make it any easier, iconic player, turned erratic coach, the late great Diego Maradona. And for the longest time, the Argentinian team was undermined by chaos, by politics, by lacking any kind of tactical idea beyond just dumping the ball to Messi. Let him do it all single-handedly. And that ended up time after time with him walking off the field in tears. But this is a different Argentina. And this is a different Messi. So competitive, so driven, angry, spiky, willing to speak, willing to shit house, and, well, willing to do this.
Con Leo Messi. Bueno, Leo, quedaste un poco caliente por el final.
¿Qué mira, bobo? Anda para allá, bobo. Anda para allá.
Tranquilo, Leo.
Hey, bobo. Up there with "it did not hit me in the penis" is the quote of this World Cup. So what will Messi dream of? Glory, I hope. Which sounds like this.
Va Leo. Va Messi, aceleró. Le gana Bardiol. Espera Julián. Va Leo, va la fiera, va la senda. Valeo, qué buena. Sigue Leo para el tercero, traga. Gol. Argentino de mi corazón. Gol de Julián Álvarez, pero hizo toda Leo.
Next question, please.
Hey, Raj. This is Kevin in Washington, D.C. Long-time GFOP, first-time caller. I'd like to know how a French team that lost so many key players became a stronger collective. Colo, 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 Muani.
Kev, France. Wow. Well, I'll be honest, as an English-born person, I used to think of France very much how groundskeeper Willie and the Simpsons did, that they were cheese-eating surrender monkeys. But this French team have been anything but. This French team have overcome so many obstacles to reach this pinnacle. A mass of injuries. Their innate Frenchness. The fact that defending champions are meant to wilt in their next campaign, and instead they have played delicious counter-attacking football. Yes, they've looked vulnerable, but then they've excelled in key, exquisite moments and shown that they know how to win. And the French camp, currently being ravaged by a mystery virus, which leaves their starting 11 for Sunday completely up in the air. But when they have Kylian Mbappe, let's be honest, everything is possible. Yep, that 23-year-old, positioned to define himself as the first men's footballer since the great Pelé to influence two separate World Cup wins, which is, I can't quite describe it. I was on Morning Joe this morning and I was trying to put it into words for an American audience who know about back-to-back wins. But to go back-to-back in the World Cup is really a feat of supreme organisation, because World Cups are 4 years apart. And we know footballers, let's just say, they mostly tend towards the arrogant, towards the egotistical. So for this squad to be able to retain focus, form, intensity and stiff arm complacency to go again is humanly miraculous. And to your question, I honestly think the lack of players has suited Mbappe, just as playing with Giroud, who serves and defers to him, suits Mbappe as opposed to Benzema, who needs service in his own right. Mbappe can demand and expect the ball when he wants it, where he wants it. And this World Cup team has simply been simplified. And I will say the second choice players like Hernandez and Rabiot and Griezmann in that deep lying role have been supreme. Griezmann honestly vying for player of the tournament. And it's been, honestly, magnificent to witness.
Vous le voyez sur ce plan là.
Ah, il a glissé. Oui. Là, il y a de l'espace.
Se glisser dans le petit espace. Allez. Avec Antoine Griezmann. Et la reprise en deux temps. Non, il ne pourra pas. Si, finalement.
C'est pas
et
fini,
au second poteau. Oh, au second poteau qui est là. Encore Théo Hernandez qui était plus haut que tout le monde sur ce premier ballon de Kylian Mbappé repoussé. Et notre latéral gauche qui est là pour projeter ce ballon au fond des filets. Aucun drapeau ne s'est levé pour l'instant. Et s'il ne se lève pas, ça veut dire que les Bleus mènent à zéro.
There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage.
Hey Roz, my name is Zoe. I am calling from Brooklyn, New York, and I am a Chelsea fan. Painful to admit right now, but true. I have a question for you regarding Sunday's final. Obviously, it's on everyone's mind, but here's my question. We're all obviously talking about what this World Cup would mean for Lionel Messi, but what would winning the World Cup mean for Olivier Giroud, who, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated players of his generation? And I just want to ask you if you think adding a second World Cup title to his resume, especially in one in which he was truly a catalyst for France this time and a top goal scorer, finally see him receive some of the flowers that at least I think he deserves. I'm really just interested in hearing your opinion on this, Raj. And again, thanks on behalf of me and all of us stateside for all you've done for this World Cup. Thanks. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Zoe, Thanks for your kind words and your brilliant question. A reminder, bookmakers actually have both teams placed at exactly the same odds, -110. And as Steve Kornacki would say, this one is too close to call. Lionel Messi in what will be his 26th World Cup game, a men's record, will be Argentina's everything. And France will trust their lightning-fast counter. They'll let Argentina hog the ball. They'll believe their muscle back line, if it's healthy, can repel all comers. And expect Argentina to give born-again Griezmann a real kicking, try and cut off the French attacking air supply. But can you stop Giroud? A gent who barely touched the ball against England. I think just 23 total touches. And yet one of them was that kiss off his meaty French forehead. And he found the winner. I've said this a couple of times this World Cup. Giroud really does remind me of Tessa de d'Urbervilles. Her sense that her striking appearance was linked only to a sense of unhappiness. So she masked it. She cut off her own eyebrows and wrapped her face as if she had a terrible toothache. And I've got to believe Giroud also is too handsome to be seen for what he is, which is an elite striker. France's all-time leading international goalscorer. That is incredible, but dude looks like a male model. And that totally diminishes the fact from all that he achieves, should be celebrated as one of the great World Cup footballers, one of the greatest international footballers. And we should also be celebrating that Sunday's game is most probably, I mean, he's 36, his last World Cup game. But he's perpetually a footnote. Will it be remembered as the Giroud final? I've got to be honest, just as in the Morocco semi-final, whoever scores that first goal will be so definitive, because that moment will exacerbate both teams' strengths and weaknesses, tilt it in the goal scorer's favour. And the only thing for sure that we know 100% is that we are guaranteed Messi tears come the final whistle. Either tears of tenacious ultimate glory or Sisyphean tears, those of agony and defeat. What would I like to see? I'll be honest, I'm 97% Everton fan, but the 3% of me that remains human wishes for Messi triumph. Come on, you tiny dancer. However, that golden boot is so finely poised. Messi on 5, Mbappe on 5, Alvarez on 4, Olivier Giroud on 4. And if the final ended like this, ask yourself, would you feel down?
Good interception by Perez, doing a good defensive work. And then Giroud with a lovely faint flick. Arsenal breaking up pace. Giroud in the middle, Perez joining him. In it goes towards Olivier Giroud! Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal by the Frenchman! Even he is surprised. What a finish! What a way to get 2017 underway!
Next question.
Hey Raj, this is Sarah calling in from Mill Valley, California. Saw you guys last weekend in San Francisco and had an absolute blast. I was curious, you know, just thinking about as this World Cup comes to an end, obviously there's been a lot of geopolitical challenges, to say the least, sort of overshadowing the whole thing. What do you think is going to be the legacy of this one when you stack it up against other past World Cups? Thanks for your thoughts and talk to you soon.
Sarah, I love your city. And that was such a great night with Rebecca Lowe and Billy B. The passion for the Premier League in San Francisco runs deep. And look, over the course of the last month, we have lived it all together. We have experienced every emotion, from the surreal Gianni Infantino press conference through the morally damaging armband wars and the rainbow hating. The Qatari team lost all of its opening round games, a numbing reminder of how wrong this whole confection was with its imported fake Lebanese fans and overinflated attendances. It was really savage that after watching the German team protest and then losing, other teams then kind of self-silenced, and the tournament became one of football, relentless football. Messi, Modric, Mbappe, Morocco, Moroccan mums, Louis van Gaal's humanity, the Japanese collective tenacity, Wout Weghorst, the agony of Romelu Lukaku, Tyler Adams' courageous press conference, and Pulisic's finest moment.
I didn't get like hitting the balls.
Oh, as well as that wondrous yet misguided feeling ahead of the Netherlands game, didn't we share it? That our boys could possibly do this? Brazil, Germany, Spain, Portugal, all stunned. Suarez tears, Neymar tears, Ronaldo tears. 39-year-old Stephanie Frappart of France becoming the first female referee to officiate a men's World Cup game. The passing of Grant Wall, that American pathfinder who was the most visible writer to cover football full-time in our nation and inspired so many more to believe that it was possible. So, what will Qatar's legacy be? Honestly, that remains to be seen. We need some time. We need the dust to settle before that is decided. I do think that the Morocco run gave the Middle East a chance to create a sense of Arab shared joy. And it was magical to witness. Even though, to be clear, Morocco's own World Cup bids were blocked by Qatar stepping in to win it, which caused such diplomatic tension between the two nations that Morocco briefly recalled its ambassador from Doha. So this geopolitical hijacking of the game we love, you know, Saudi Arabia said to be salivating over the 2030 bid, is so complex. And ultimately the emotions of football, Messi's run down the wing, Mbappe in full flight, they smother that complexity. And we have to learn. We have to be awake. FIFA will not change. It will not change of its own accord. The number of journalists and interviews I did ahead of this World Cup where people asked me, you know, has FIFA changed since 2010, awarding it to Qatar, as if it would be some self-regulating, self-reflecting, self-correcting operation. There has been no change. There will be no change. We have to stay awake. We have to pressure the United States representative. And we have to continue to hold those in our own nation accountable.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Raj. This is Michael coming here from the lovely Jersey Shore in Asbury Park, home of Asbury Park FC. If you're ever looking for a podcast venue, tons of places that we would love to have you. My question is kind of looking forward towards the U.S.-Canada-Mexico World Cup. And as much as I don't want to praise the Qatari World Cup, I think it should be appreciated how close the stadiums are together. Do you think the distance between the stadiums across the U.S.-Canada-Mexico World Cup is going to put a damper on anything, especially considering how a lot of the stadiums that have been selected are not actually in the cities themselves? I mean, the Foxborough Stadium is about an hour outside of Boston. MetLife Stadium, about 30 minutes outside of New York. Do you think that there's going to be any sort of damper on that World Cup with the stadiums not really located in the cities? Thanks. Love the show. Cheers. Bye.
Michael, oh, I love Asbury Park more than I can say. I would love to come down there. And you're catching us. You can hear it in my throat as we come off tour. I'm knackered, but one of my New Year's resolutions is I want Men in Blazers to get out more into the US ecoverse of football. You know, during the pandemic, we were locked down. We were trapped here in this studio, and I want to be out. I want to be out with you. I want to revel as we have begun to on this tour in every corner of our nation and Canada too, by the way. I want to go up to Toronto. I want to marvel in the cultures that are built. I want to get to Vermont, check out the incredible club building there, Minneapolis, Wisconsin, so many corners of this world, El Paso, that I want to visit in the year to come. And we in the United States men may not have won the World Cup on the field, but honestly, it really felt for us at Men in Blazers that we were blessed to win the cup off it. And I say this right after that final Seattle gig. It's up on YouTube if you want it. God, I love being with Ben Gibbard. What a human being. And those of us who are married to the World Cup know just how physically and mentally exhausting it is to find ourselves in this moment. We've finished one World Cup tour, 10 cities, 4.5 weeks, 10 live shows, 17 live Twitches, 10 million views, 100 plus hours of podcasts with Davo, Rory Smith, Hurt Gomez, Jesse Marsh. God, he was great. Countless memories made. And the end of our journey, it's now in sight. The Men in Blazers World Cup tour is over. It really was, I want to say this, so special to end it in that magical kingdom of Seattle. Partly because it's a city I've learned to love everything about. The people, the place, the energy, the spirit. And it's many, many diverse chowders. But also because it's a town that I believe is besotted in football, but in the right way. Grounded in love, positivity and joy. And I admire it all so bloody much. So to voyage across the US during a World Cup is to see the unique, diverse, dizzying football cultures, all of them distinct at their finest. We've travelled from sea to shining sea. We were driven by a mission of bringing Americans together to create their own World Cup experiences. We were in New York, which really is a footballing global capital, diverse, eclectic, magical. St. Louis, home of Sauerbrunn, Tim Ream, Sargent, so many iconic players to our history. Philadelphia, the Aronson town, the lungs of youth development for our current men's program. Washington, D.C., Premier League obsessed wonder. Austin, Nashville, Atlanta, three of the freshest, kinetically passionate, distinctly, authentically local gems. And then up the West Coast, we danced with the MLS Cup and Steve Cherundolo in Los Angeles. We feasted in San Francisco, as I said earlier, the love for the game, that energy in that room, I will never forget it. It's magnificent. And finally, sweet, sweet Seattle, home to the bluest skies you've ever seen and hills the greenest green. And we did it all with our small but mighty MIB team. So elated to make it through this journey. Yes, shattered, but we've sailed through it with the joy, passion, the creative wonder of you listeners, our GFOP audience, and there's so many new ones through this World Cup. We've had so many emails saying, what's a GFOP? It's a great friend of the pod, and if you're listening, then you are one. And if you're listening, I hope you know just what a rich, vibrant footballing story flows through our nation's veins. And for all of us at Men in Blazers to tour like this, especially after the pandemic, when at times we often wondered if we'd ever go again, is to thrive. And I'll leave you with this idea, this thought, this belief that there is a massive wave of footballing fandom rolling across our nation. And with the Women's World Cup 7 months away and counting, and World Cup 2026 about to take place in the United States, in Canada and Mexico in just 1,270 days. And that wave will become an inevitable, unstoppable kahuna. And so my goal for the next 4 years is to be like Laird Hamilton, a bald Laird Hamilton. Let's surf that wave together. Let's not take a second for granted. And I'm going to leave you with what I hope it sounds a lot like in 2026. Our whole nation may sound like the great Andreas Cantor, reveling in wonder. Let's make great memories together, America, and courage.
Estados Unidos es peligroso. ¡Qué buena pelota! ¡Está el primero! ¡Va! ¡Gol! ¡Gol! ¡Gol!
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.